Yeah. How many of you, your air conditioners seem to be pushed to the limit right now? Of course, it's over 100 degrees out there right now still, and that just happens. It's just that part of it. Now, tell me once again, that was for the turkey is for, tell me again, is that for the next Monday meal?
That is for the Monday night meal. And what I had to do is we are going to get a very big shipment of seasoned chicken and beef in. And so I had a refrigerator go out. And so I have had issues with refrigeration as far as storage. And I had to take all of the turkey out because it was taking up too much room.
Yes.
So we've got to have that for Monday night. And tomorrow I've got to go up there and get all that meat. So I just didn't have room for all those turkeys.
That's right.
So I've just got to, you know, they can stay here till they're thawed out, and if somebody will cook them, I can bring them to people.
Let me just share something with you. We need your help. Now, Mom, we can do one. Now, let me ask you this, hon. And you need them, and it would be better if we took the meat off. That way we could be smaller, and if we got that to that point, could we bring it back into the church? Okay. Mill, why don't we just, look here. If anybody else will do one, I'll do two. Okay, there's one. Come on, somebody help me here. You're going to do some? God bless you. God bless you. Tony, I haven't seen you in so long. I almost tried to introduce myself and say, well, I'm Brother Angelo. Anybody else who can? All right. There's one over here. There's one over there. We got several now. And did you say, Kayla, you can? Okay. Kayla's got two. We'll do two. We will do two. Now, we'll probably try to pick them up tomorrow when they're thawed out, and then we'll just cook them. That's right. Do we have a... Yeah, this is important. Here's the team right here tonight. Now, also, I have another request that I think is very important. What is that new show that's on? Big Brother. Big Brother is on at 8 o'clock, so we will not be getting out of here late. Okay, everybody, put your hand up on this side that can do some and tell how many you can do. One? 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 Okay, thank you. You can have it back here before Monday. Oh, God bless you, Tony. Okay, how about over here? Who can do one again? Millie, we're going to do two. Two for Patty, one for this young lady, one for this young fella. You want one or two, Mary? One. Okay, did you get all of them? Does that help? Okay, good. Look here, everybody. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. Where could we go but to our family? So, praise God. I think I got a good word for you. You want me to tell you how I get some of my words? I'll just be driving along like I was this morning. I have another word that I was going to start on and work on, and it was unexpected rain. And that's going to be a good message too. But as I was coming, I was reflecting, and I was thinking about this not this Christmas, but the Christmas before, when I wasn't able to be there. I was in the hospital, and I wasn't able to be at the with my family. But then I had to think, and the Lord reminded me, what about all those that you were able to be there? And you know what I thought about it? And we'll put that first verse up there, please, whoever's taking care of that right now. Is Bub still up in that booth too? Oh, he just went to the restroom for a minute. Okay, we're going to this verse, and that's going to be my last verse, too, in a different translation. But it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And I want to tell you, as you came in here tonight, there's no less rhythm or ripening on that as there was when that was first written. You're blessed if you're trusting in the Lord. Because as Miriam said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Let me tell you, there's nothing more powerful that you can trust in than the Godhead, the Trinity, those that created this world. Let us make man after our image, Genesis 1:26, and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over this world. And I want to say that you have a lot, people usually have a lot more dominion than they understand or that they're willing to try. And I'll tell you, I've been a fellow that has not been unwilling to try. And they had me figured in there. How much did that doctor, Millie, he had me in there for about 6 months, didn't he? Yeah. And I let him know, no, I'm not going to do that. And finally, I just let him know that's not happening. I'm going to be leaving here. And I left there. And how many days was I up there? Do you remember? Two or three. Three, maybe. And then you know what happened? They said, well, you're going to have to get with the therapist. And we'll just see how well you're doing. Well, they wanted to walk. I outwalked that sucker. Just walked him right into the ground. And he said, well, can we stop? I said, no, not yet. Let's keep going. And finally he said, please, could we do some talk therapy? I said, well, if you insist, we'll do that. Yeah, that's fine. I can do any kind of therapy because I'm leaving here. See, that was my confession. That didn't come from an outward blah, blah, blah. That's what's in my heart. See, that's what I put in my heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart. See, you're not getting the full benefit of a walk with Christ. It's nice to come to church and meet with your friends. And that's good. Let me tell you something. When you get a hold of God through the power of his word, for it is written, Matthew 4, man shall not live by bread alone. Your happiness cannot come by having enough to eat, being famous, or anything else, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God's got some exciting things to say, and God has some exciting things for us to say out of our mouth. How did he create this world? He simply spoke, and it was here. And he saw in the book of Genesis, early chapters, that man's thoughts and ways were evil continually. And he said, my spirit will not always strive with men. Men were living 700 years at that time. Methuselah, I think it was 989, the oldest recorded in the Bible. He said, man's days will be 120 years. All he had to do was speak it, and it happened. Now, we're made in his image after his likeness. Jesus told the woman at the well from Samaria, God is a spirit. Now, if we're made in the image of God, guess what we are? We're a spirit. We're living in this temporary body right now. We're going to get a new body that will never fade away. But we're a spirit. Man is a spirit. And we function best if we try to function as God functions. And he functions what's in his heart. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. He meant it. It's good not to say things you don't mean. It's really, really good to practice what you say and just say what you mean, and you'll get a lot farther in life. Amen? So all of that was just a prelude. And now we're going to get into our message. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the person that trusts in him. How many of you here, to one degree or another, you're trusting in God? Amen. Amen and amen and amen. That is so good. And you know what? As you feed on the word of God, that trust will grow. Your faith will grow. It'll grow. As you begin to meditate, the word meditate, to meditate on the word of God means this. Get a Bible verse, say Philippians 4:13. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. You begin to say that. If you can't remember it at first, you put it up on your refrigerator. Put it where you go potty, and you just keep it right there. And you get that word, and you get it inside of you, and you begin to speak it. And when you begin to do that, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And when faith hears you speak the words of God, the ideas of God, that's going to grow. That's going to change your life. How many of you here, you've lived long enough that you know your life, and you've been saved long enough, you know your life is better because you've accepted Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. I've been saved since I was 19. I'm now 71, and I'm glad to be 71. I'm soon to be 72. I'll be glad to be 72. I'll be glad to be, I think Frank's dad is about 82, isn't he? What a wonderful man. He gets up every day, plays the guitar, takes care of business. And so that's where we're at. That's what my subject is. And as I was coming, going to the Scranton to pick up the food this morning, that was in there. I had to grab my phone real quick, and I got to the notes, and I just spoke it in there. I couldn't plink it in. I said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord. And then this afternoon when I came home and got ready, I just, God gave me this word, and I want to share it with you. And so that's where we're at. And see, we're going to maybe discover a little bit what it means. What does it mean to taste of the Lord? To taste of the Lord. What does that mean? We're going to talk about that a little bit. The best way to describe that, now, I've got a few verses, but the Bible is full of verses about the goodness of God, about the fact that God is good. You know, God is good to everybody. It's right in the Word. God is good to people that are unthankful, people that will never serve Him. He's good to them. And sometimes in the closer, the more that you let Him. Now, the less a person wants to have with God, you fall in. It's not God's fault, the hands of the devil. And the devil comes to do three things: to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So praise God. That's what God has for us. And we can learn these things. We can grow in these things if it's worth it to you. Sometimes I've seen people go through all kinds of things to try to get a loan or try to get a fix or try to get this or that. But I'm going to tell you, you can't get any more than if you apply all your powers that you have that God has given you to speak the word, to know how to speak a word in season. Speak it over your life. Speak it over your health. They told me I was dying. Can I tell them the first thing? My wife told me, I said, I don't believe that. I didn't feel like that at all. I don't even want to apologize. I just didn't feel like that. That was a year and a half ago. I don't know how much longer I'm going to go. I'm going to see. You know what? When it's my time to go, I'm just going to lay over and die. I'm not going to fight that. You know, I'm fighting for what God wants in my life. Every morning, we did it with Coco this morning. We said, Father, into your hands, we commit our spirits. See, we're teaching our children. You think it's an accident that Coco prays like that and stuff? The other day, Coco was with me at Larry and Phyllis Turner's house, Sherry's mom and dad. And Larry and I were having a conversation in the living room we thought was real important about dogs and hunting and feeding them and doing. And Coco and not the oldest one, Carson, Colton, the youngest one, and Phyllis were having a very, just about whichever she wanted. And finally I said, well, Colton, let's go. And Colson got up from where he was sitting. He went and stood right by Phyllis, and he took her by the hand, and he said, could I pray for you? They'd never seen anything like that. That's my seed! What is it supposed to do? My seed will not fail. My seed will not be broke. They're going to do what I tell them to do, or else. No, they're going to. What happens is when you begin to emulate that, you've lived that most of your life. That's what happens. And at the end, everybody was about to cry. I was about to cry. It was one of the most moving things I've seen. Little fella, but you know, when you train up a child in the way they should go, when they get older, even if they get away, they'll come back. Now, that's just the truth, everybody. All of you, I've seen these McElhaneys dragging these kids in here for years and years and years because it does some good. I've had people just tell me, oh, I'm so glad my mom and dad took me. My mom and dad didn't take me to church. But anyhow, I'm preaching a message. Oh, get a taste of God. Next verse, let me have Psalm 25, 8 through 10 in the New Living Translation. The Lord is good, see, and does what is right. Okay, why is the Lord good? Well, one of the reasons is God always does what's right. And what we'll see here, God always does what is merciful. God gives people a lot more chances than others will. God is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. Well, they're out in sin. Heck with them. I hope they die. Well, if they do, we got to die right along with them because we have our sinful moments too, don't we? Amen. But God stays with them and constantly trying to show them, here's the path that you need to take. You know, I was confused for a while because I was so dadgum religious. You know, I thought if they weren't committing, you know, if I wasn't committing what they was doing, I was better than them. Or if I wasn't doing it that day, I was better than them. You know, you get that. If you're not careful. Now listen, tell me if this ain't true. That religious spirit will try to get on you, won't it? Try to get on you. Try to make you mad at the body, mad at everybody. But I like what this says. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. See, he shows. How does he do that? Well, he talks to them. Don't you know that there's things that's happened in your life and you, this inner voice said, you know, you shouldn't do that. Anybody ever have that? Of course you have. I have. Or have the Lord. That's one of the ways I get my messages. It's just like I told you this morning. I just started to think about how good, and I thought about that verse many times. I don't know if I've ever really preached it like this. I've used that verse before, that first verse. But God is good. He just is. He's very good. He's good to people that don't deserve it, but he's good anyway. Amen? And the word says God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God wants us all, that all of us would be saved. The word says in Timothy, first of all, that I pray prayers and supplications be made for all men, because God doesn't want anybody to be lost, even people that we want to be lost. Lord, I wish you'd just kill them. Haven't they made enough mistakes? How many more mistakes are you going to let them? Now, I'm being real up here. Maybe none of you is like that. But I'll be honest with you. I was, and I'm like that less and less, honest to goodness. You know, you can't walk with God for a long time and not, you begin to take on his nature, and you want to try to do better. And so I just love the Lord, and I've tasted of the Lord, and he is good. He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way. If you just give God half a chance, if you let him know, let it be your prayer. God, teach me how to be. Teach me how to be like the way you want me to be. What does Jesus inside of me look like? Lord, let that come out. I've been praying lately a lot for, God, let your divine nature come through with me. Because I haven't always done that. But you know what? Thank God he's patient. Oh, man. When I see Jesus up there, I say, thank you for being my intercessor and my Savior. Thank you for being patient with me. He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness all who keep his covenant and obey his demands. And his demands, they're not grievous. They're not beyond what we can do. God just wants, you know what God wants from you and me? Here's the first commandment. He wants you and me to treat everybody the way he treats them. That's how simple that is. He wants us to treat folks the way he treats them. How many of you give me this here that you found God's pretty patient with you? Amen. Amen and amen. Give me Psalm 33, verses 4 and 5. We're going to get that big brother, Brenda Mack, We're going to get there. We're going to get there. What channel is it on anyway? Did they have it on DirecTV and Dish Network and all? Do they? We might need to watch that, huh? That might be something. We really like Ridiculousness, Maury. I know it's been 17 times, but no, that's not your baby's daddy. Who wouldn't enjoy something like that? Now, I love that. Me and Millie talk about that. We just get a kick out of that. And that Married at First Sight, 5 couples, 4 rejects, 1's making it so far. So we don't feel so bad. I think the church has a little bit more than that show does. Amen. But they're fun to watch. Oh, man. Okay. For the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything he does. He loves whatever is just and good. The Lord, the unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth. There ain't nowhere you can go where there's not the love of the Lord. Nowhere on earth that you can go where there's not an opportunity. You can get saved anywhere. You can get saved while you're drowning. You can get saved while you're in the grocery store. Man, I tell you, I've messed with folks a lot in the grocery store. Something about buying food makes them hungry for the Word of God. And they want to talk. And I tell you something, and I'm not proud of this. A lot of them, they're talking to me, and I never let on. But I don't know who the heck I'm talking to. And if Millie's with them, I say, who was that masked man? Who was that? Who was that? Because I forget names. I just do. And I've remembered Zach and Eli's names. And I almost remembered which one was which, but I failed Sunday. I got the wrong ones. But at least I remember their names. But look at this here. The unfailing love of the Lord fills the whole earth. Of course he's good. Of course he's good. If we had a tyrant in power, like if you don't have Christ in your life, you're under the power of a tyrant named Satan and many other demons, and they will destroy your life. Now, God loves people so much, he just lets them do whatever they think they're big enough to do, whatever they want to do. He just lets them do. But he's hoping that you, and when you're open to it, he'll try to tell you, this is what I want for you. Many times the Lord has showed me what he wanted for my life, and that just touched my heart. And I have to say this here. God did not win me over and keep me for all these years by being mean to me or disciplining me every day and whooping me down. He did it by saying, now, Angelo, this isn't the best way for you. And he says, I've let you do this enough that you can see this isn't the best way for you. Let's try to do something better. And see, he's saying that to everybody in this room. He loves you. I don't care what you've heard. Some of the most critical, hateful things about God and the church has come from the church. I hate to say that. That's why we are like we are here. We've just decided we're going to be interdenominational. We're going to let people do what they want to. We'll let people, this is open communion here. Anybody can come in here. I tell you, you can come in here, think you're going to a recovery meeting, and you'll be in a church meeting. There's been several people come to the back of church and say, is this where the recovery meeting? I said, yeah, sit down. And they get recovered some. Amen. All right. I'm preaching a message, oh, get a taste of God. And that was, okay, let me have Nahum 1 and 7. Nahum is one of the harder books in the Bible to find, especially if you don't have your thumb index. But it's in there. Nahum 1 and 7. And listen to this here. The Lord is good. Once again, that's my theme tonight. God is good. And I mean, he's good to people you don't like. He's good to people you don't think he ought to be good to. Okay? He's just good. He's just good. And you know what? He's convinced me, it's taken a long time, that I begin to realize I have a responsibility to try to be good to everybody. And I'm doing better. I'm not perfect, but I'm doing better. And the Lord said, start with your wife. Oops. Now we're talking about some real intimate things that some of us may not want to talk about. But I'm just telling you what he said to me. You might not have that problem. Well, Mill, am I doing any better? I rest my case. You know what? God will never ask you to do something that cannot be done. Whatever he asks you, even if you don't understand, how could that be? Just trust him. Try to do it. Get your feet out in the water. Put your staff over the water. Try and see. Amen? The Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes. He is close to those who trust him. You know, sometimes you just get in predicaments. We really don't have any choice but to trust God, because sometimes we don't have any plan 2, 3, 4, A, B, C. Sometimes the only plan is God's plan. I've known Tony for many years. We were having church on the square when she first started coming. She sat in that first meeting, and she came in, and she said, "Hi, my name is Tony, and you're my new pastor." And you know what? It's been like that. And we've seen Tony go through so many things, beautiful things, how she's come through, and God has blessed her. Isn't the Lord good, Miss Tony? He's good to us. He's good. What about if you make the wrong choice? He's still good to you. He'll say, "Let's see if we can fix it, try to make a better choice. What if you're in sin?" He's going to try to help you. God, you know, God ain't going to throw you away. Now, at the end of the Bible, if you want to see the culture shock, is when you read, "And I saw the dead, great and small, all gathered before God, and the Lamb's book of life was opened. And whoever's name was not found in that Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, see, he's good right now. But there's a day coming, you know, and we don't want that for ourselves. You know, is anybody, I've heard, "Well, I'm going to party in hell." No, you ain't going to party in hell. You're going to pop, sizzle, and fry in hell. And you're going to, and sooner or later, you're going to run into the devil and demons. The Bible says hell was not created for mankind, but hell has widened its opening and put more room in to receive sinful mankind. People that just, you know, in this last dispensation, you have to work really hard to go to hell, to be cast into the lake of fire. Because if you're not careful, God will do everything he can. He'll send people that you know to you to minister to you. And by the time I was 17, 18 years old, I was so full of demons, so full of things that people said would make me happy. They made me crazy. They made me suicidal. I could hear voices when I was driving, speed up, being a 25, say, "Go 65. They said, "Now turn to these cars." I'd hear that. You know, let me tell you, when that really happens to you, it makes you stop and think. But you know, oh, taste of the Lord and see that he is good. Let me have Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 and show you another good thing about God and the way he deals with us. Romans 2 and 4 says this: "Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see?" Now, this is the truth. This is how God has changed me. He didn't change me by threatening me or being mean to me. He changed me just this way here. "Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin?" Now, think about this. When we're trying to deal with people in our life that are contrary and they've opposed us, it's easy to get in the thing, "Well, man, we're going to battle. I'm going to think of 7 things. I'm going to write them down, make sure I remember all of them, what I'm going to tell that person. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind." Well, we should just be saying, "Father, help me to meet this person like Jesus would meet them." Now, that's a taller order, but it's achievable. If I can achieve it, anybody can achieve it. And here we are. We got 10 minutes to get the big brother pretty much on time. You got that thing recording? See? You don't. Oh, my God. You want to leave now? You want to leave now? I'll walk you to the door. But you're going to miss the best part of the message. I'm picking on you. I'm sorry. I'm being bad. Nobody would say, "Yes, I want to leave now." I'm not going to ask it again because somebody might just take me up on it. All right, let's go to the second to the last. Psalm 145 and 9. And this is God. Psalm 145 and 9. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord is good to everyone. It couldn't get any clearer than that. God is good to everyone. How many of you want to join me and try to be good to everyone? Now, you people are way better than me. That's going to be hard for me. But I'm trying. I'm really trying to be like God. Okay? The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all of his creation. Boy, you can start talking to God about this drought or too much rain or this or that. And you can begin to talk to God. You're the best artist I ever seen. I've been telling him that since I had long black hair. I'd just be outside tripping, driving, you know, and see the beautiful colors that God puts together. Oh, I just love the Lord. I compliment him all the time. Try it. It's wonderful. So God is good to everyone. And, you know, he showers love on all of his creation. The word says if a little bird anywhere in the earth falls to the ground dead, he takes note of it. And people that have a lot of hair and people that don't have as much, if you're one of his kids, he knows how many hair are on your head. I don't know anybody's mom or anybody that knows that, but God knows that. I never ask him because I seem to have less than I had 10, 20 years ago. But let's go now to Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14. And these are just verses why God is good. That's what this, and you can hear this message again. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him, for he knows how weak we are, and he remembers that we are only dust. You know, when God saved you, he knew he was going to have work to do with you, and that didn't change his mind. You know, I've got some pups, and I'm going to save some of them, and out of them I'm going to pick one that I'm going to work with and make into a great dog. And you know what I know? There's going to be problems trying to do that. They're going to do things. When I turn them loose, I don't want them to go tree the neighbor's cat, especially since that's Larry and Mary back there. I want them to, you know, I want them to get in the back of the truck and not go trying to grab that cat. But God is good. He treats us all like his children, even the ones of us that say no to him. We don't want him. How do you say no? Just by going the other way. Just like doing a different thing. God be with you, sister. I won't embarrass you on the way out. Let's go one more place. Let's go back to Psalm 34:8 where we started, and we're going to look at that in the Living Bible. And I love this. It says, oh, put God to the test and see how kind he is. See for yourself the way his mercies shower down on all who trust him. That's God. That's the true God. And, you know, he gets the worst rap as anybody I know because well-meaning people think they're full of zeal and doing the right thing when they look down on others. And that just never works. Let's all try to do better than that. That was my message tonight. Let's make an altar. Let's take communion and go home and be happy. And I pray everybody is in good shape.